The Old Testament contains literally scores of prophecies about the Son of God that would come in to the world, and he would be identified by these prophecies. Romans 1, 2 to 4 says, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, over and over and over again, appealed to predicted prophecy to confirm his messiahship or his deity. For example, in Luke 24:27, he said, in beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures, the Old Testament. And then verse 44 of Luke 24, and he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then in John 5:39, 40, 46, and 47. It says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Can you imagine how revolutionary this was in the Jewish context? A man coming and saying that the Holy Scriptures that they reverenced spoke of him in detail? It must have shocked him when he would claim these things. And then in Luke 4:20 and 21, and he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, the Bible that is, the Old Testament, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogues were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And in John 15:25, but they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And then New Testament writers appealing to them. Luke writes in Acts 3:18, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that this Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Then in Acts 17:2 and 3, and according to Paul's custom, he went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scripture, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ. He did it from the Scriptures, that which was written about him. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then Peter brings out 1 Peter 2:5 and 6. 1 Peter 2:5 and 6. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. Now these scriptures were written in the Old Testament, and God in the Old Testament confirmed that he was predicting the coming of the Messiah and future things. For example, in Isaiah 45:9 and 10, he said, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning. Now remember, there were 400 years from the Old Testament being completed to these prophecies being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Malachi, the last book chronologically of the Old Testament, was finished a little over 400 years before Christ. So there's a 400-year gap. Now, many prophecies, of course, were a lot older are much older than 400 years. They were written during a period of 1,100 years. From 1,100 years, from the time of Moses, around 1,500 B.C., to that of Malachi, 400 B.C. And during this time, there was quite a succession of prophets. Prophecy ended at 400 B.C. In 1 Maccabees 9:27, that's Apocrypha, 1 Maccabees 9:27 tells us, quote, "Great affliction in Israel, such as there was not since the day that a prophet was not seen among them." In other words, they pointed out that they hadn't seen a prophet since the days of Scripture. And then it goes on and says, in 1 Maccabees 14:41, 1 Maccabees 14:41 and 4:46, points out the intense longing for the coming again of prophets, so that even in their public actions, men were careful to claim validity for their legislation only until a faithful prophet should rise again. They were very careful in the intertestamental period not to claim to speak from God until another prophet come that could speak in the name of God. Now, a lot of people say, look, these prophecies weren't written down until the time of Christ. And they were written down then so they would coincide with his life. And a lot of Christians sit there in a classroom and says, you got a point. Oh, no, they don't. Some people say, look, there couldn't be a 400-year gap because the Old Testament wasn't finished then. It wasn't finished in about the time of Christ. Now, here's the answer to it. I say, okay, you don't want to have a 400-year gap? Let's just make it 250 then. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, was made when? Between 200 and 250 B.C. And the Septuagint shows there had to be at least a 200-year gap. It's so big deal if somebody says it's not 400 years, just make it 200. Doesn't solve anything for them. A 200-year gap and then being written down before they're fulfilled is just as good as 400 years. And the Septuagint, the Greek translation, shows that there was at least a 200 to 250-year gap. Because let's face it, you have a Greek translation, then you had to have a Hebrew translation for the scriptures to do it. So that answers the critic that says that these things were not written down until the time of Christ. Now, it's interesting, as you study history, that there were many false messiahs. In fact, David Barron, in The Rays of Messiah's Glory, the book, Rays of Messiah's Glory, David Barron calls attention to the fact that more than 40 false messiahs have appeared in the history of the Jewish nation. More than 40 false messiahs. But here's an important thing. Not one of them appealed to fulfill prophecy to substantiate their claims as a messiah. Not one of them. Jesus was the only man that appealed to it that we can tell. And the reason is, he was the only one that could. Because if any of the others would have, they'd been exposed just like that. Jesus appealed to fulfill prophecy. The other ones didn't. Now, when I look at the prophecies, I look at them as a great address. I look at it as God writing an address through prophecies to identify one man to come into the world. Let me show you what I mean. Your address is very unique. At least I know mine is. My address is Josh McDowell, 3934 North Lugo, Apartment 14, San Bernardino, California, 92404, State of California, Country USA, North American Continent, Late Great Planet Earth. Do you know that that address separates me from 3.5 billion people? For example, Late Great Planet Earth separates me from all the other planets. North American Continent from all the other continents. United States from the other three countries, Canada and Mexico, in the North American continent, and then there's Texas. And then California separates me, my state, from all the other states in the United States, North American continent, Lake Great Planet Earth. San Bernardino separates me from all the other cities in the world. The zip code 92404 separates me from all the other zip code areas in the city of San Bernardino, the state of California, the country USA, North America, continent, Lake Great Planet Earth. And then, the street Lugo, spelled L-U-G-O, separates my street from all the other streets in the zip code area of 92404, etc., etc., etc. And in 3934 separates the apartment complex that I live in from all the other apartment complexes in the entire world. Apartment 14 separates my apartment from all the other apartments in 3934 of the street North Lugo from all the other streets in the zip code area. 92404 separates me from all the other zip code areas, city of San Bernardino, state of California, USA, North America, continent, lake, great planet Earth. And then my last name separates me from anyone else living in that apartment by another last name, and there better not be anyone else by another last name. And then my first name, Josh, separates me from 3.5 billion people in the world. Your address is significant. Your address separates you from everyone else in the world. Now, I believe God has written an address to separate His Son from everyone that has ever lived in all of history, past, present, and future. You could also call this the great drama. When I give this talk at Christmas, I call it the Christmas drama, leading up to the birth of Jesus. It makes a tremendous message. Any Christmas banquet you speak at, anything, either for evangelism or just to build up the Christians. You can call it the Christmas drama and use Galatians 4:4, where it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, the fullness of time there means, literally in the Greek, when every exact detail had been completed. When every exact detail had been completed, God sent forth His Son. Now, what are some of these details? Well, you have prophecy and then historical preparation. Today we want to deal with prophecy. Every exact detail. First one, we go back to Genesis 3:15. And there it says that one of the identifications of the Messiah, in fact, in the Talmud, it uses the word Messiah, as you will see when you read this chapter, says that his identification is that he would be from the seed of a woman. Now, this is the only man that is ever referred to as the seed coming from the seed of the woman. Everybody else is a seed of the man. But in this case, it's the seed of the woman. Then we go down to recorded time in Genesis 9:26 and following, in Genesis 10:2, up to there. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now, all the nations in the world can be traced back to one of these three people, ethnologically. Now, God eliminates two-thirds of the nations in the world when it says that this man would be through the lineage of Shem. Two-thirds of the nations of the world were eliminated. Now we go down to Genesis 12:17 and 22. God called a man out of the Ur of the Chaldees by the name of Abram, because he believed God and trusted in, you might say, the prophecies. He was called Abraham. What God did through Abraham was this, is that he called Abraham out and made him a special race, the Jews. His descendants would be the Jews. And what God did was eliminate all the other races in the world except for one, the Jews. Abraham had two sons in Genesis 17 and 21, Isaac and Ishmael. And now God eliminates 50% of the line of Abraham, of the race of the Jews, of the lineage of Shem, of the seed of the woman. Now Isaac, we find in Genesis 28 and Numbers 24, had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Now God eliminates 50% of the line of Isaac, and says that this man will be identified because he will come through the line of Jacob. Now, any math major will start seeing the probability building up. Then, in Genesis 49:10, it narrows it down further. Jacob had how many sons? 12. Each one became a Jewish tribe, or a Hebrew tribe. And now God eliminates 11/12 of the descendants of Jacob, and says that this man will come through the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah. Shiloh there, as you will see when you read the chapter, is a reference to the Messiah. And then we go to Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. Within the tribe of Judah, there were many family lines. And now God eliminates all the family lines of the tribe of Judah, of the lineage of Jacob, of the line of Isaac, of the race of the Jews, of the lineage of Shem, of the seed of the woman. It says that this man will be through the family line of Jesse. Now we go down to 1 Chronicles 7, 2 Samuel 7. In the family line of Jesse, there were many houses. Jesse had 8 children. And now God eliminates 7/8 of the family line of Jesse. It says that this man will not only be of the seed of the woman, the lineage of Shem, the race of the Jews, the line of Isaac, the line of Jacob, the tribe of Judah, the family of Jesse, but it would be through the house of David. Then we go down to around 1012 B.C. in Psalm 22. Another characteristic of this man is that his hands and his feet would be pierced, as in crucifixion. Hands and his feet would be pierced. This was written around 800 years before crucifixion was put into effect in a Jewish province. Then we go down to Isaiah 9:6 and Isaiah 7:14. And it gives another characteristic of this man to single him out from everyone that's ever lived. And it says this, that this man will have a divine nature. People will look at him and call him the mighty God. He would be called the righteous branch. Now that separates him from a lot of people. So see, it's narrowed down further. It says not only the seed of the woman, the lineage of Shem, the race of the Jews, the line of Isaac, the line of Jacob, the tribe of Judah, the family of Jesse, the house of David, be crucified, but have a divine nature. And then God narrows it down even further. In Isaiah 52 and 53 and Isaiah 11:10, points out, another characteristic of this man is that he would be rejected by his own people, but believed in by his enemies. Rejected by his own people, but believed in by his enemies. You especially get this in the last few verses of chapter 52 of Isaiah, where the king that knew did not believe, and the kings that had not known, the Gentiles, believed. And then we narrow it down even further. In Psalm 41, in Zechariah 11, it gives various ramifications to identify this man. Identification is this. Now look at the ramifications of this prophecy. He'd be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces, not 29.99 girls, 30 pieces of silver. What was the coinage of that day? Gold. But the prophecy stepped out of the coinage of the day and said he'd be betrayed for silver. How'd they know it? 30 pieces of silver. It'd be thrown on the floor, not placed on the table or anything. It'd be cast on the floor. It'd be in the temple and be used to buy a potter's field. You see the ramifications? Betrayed by a friend, 30 pieces of silver thrown on the floor in the temple, used to buy a potter's field. And it narrows it down further and says that this man will not only be of the seed of the woman, the lineage of Shem, the race of the Jews, the line of Isaac, the line of Jacob, the tribe of Judah, the family of Jesse, the house of David, be crucified, divine nature, believed in by his enemies, rejected by his own people, betrayed by a friend, 30 pieces of silver thrown on the floor in the temple used to buy a potter's field. But then God narrows it down even further. In Micah 5:2, written around 710 B.C., he narrows it down when at this time God eliminates all the cities in the world except for one. One city. Here he says that his entrance in Micah 5:2 would be in the city of Bethlehem. Less than 1,000 inhabitants at that time. When it was prognosticated. But it narrows it down even further to identify this man that would come into the world as a Savior. God writing an address. Now, somebody will say, as one philosophy professor said to me, and I gave this in the philosophy class, he said, look, Mr. McDowell, this is all just a coincidence. He literally said that it's all a coincidence. He said, well, I could find some of these prophecies fulfilled in Anwar Sadat and Pompidou and Nasser and Kennedy and Martin Luther King. Ithra Wind, Spiral Agnew, etc. And most Christians would sit there and say, you got a point. Maybe it is a coincidence. Oh, no, it isn't. And I spoke up and I said, sir, maybe one or two. But all 60 major ones was 200 and some ramifications? In fact, I said, sir, if you can just find 20 of these prophecies fulfilled in any other individual in history apart from Jesus Christ, just 20, the Victory Publishing Company in Denver, Colorado will give you a $1,000 reward. And there's a lot of men that can make a little money by just backing up what they say. But they can't. In fact, the Victory Publishing Company will give anyone a $1,000 reward that just finds 20 prophecies from any book about a man coming into the world, and these prophecies were written down before the man was born. Just 20 prophecies fulfilled in his life, and will give you a $1,000 reward. It's impossible unless God's the author. Dr. Peter Stoner, and I documented him in my book, gave some probabilities of these prophecies being fulfilled in any one individual in history. In fact, he puts it down to just any description of any man. You don't want to call it a prophecy, just a description. And these descriptions being fulfilled in a man born after they were written down. Now this is what he said. Let's just take eight of the prophecies. The probability that just eight of these prophecies could be fulfilled in any one individual would be 1 × 10^17. That would be 17 zeros. Now our minds cannot comprehend that. At least mine can't. Now let me give you an illustration that Stoner gave that could communicate this probability of 1 × 10^17. He said you take the state of Texas. 2 feet deep of silver dollars. Take one silver dollar, put a little check on it. And then mix up the entire state 2 feet deep of silver dollars. Use a bulldozer if you prefer. And then blindfold a man. And the probability that that blindfolded man would pick that check silver dollar the first time in the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep of silver dollars is the same probability for eight of these prophecies being fulfilled in any one individual. Let's look at 48. 48 of these prophecies being fulfilled in any one individual. It would be 1 × 10^157 for just 48 of these prophecies. Now, let me give you an illustration that will communicate the probability of 1 × 10^157. An inch line of electrons. To count those electrons in an inch line and counting 250 a minute with your eyes open would take you 19 million years. Now, take a cubic inch of electrons. To count the electrons in a cubic inch at 250 a minute with your eyes open would take you 19 million years times, not plus, times 19 million years, times 19 million years, just to count them with your eyes open. Now take one of those electrons, put a little check on it, and then throw it back in. You don't have to mix it up, just throw it back in. This illustration is from Dr. Stoner. Now, take that guy we left blindfolded down in Texas. And the probability that that blindfolded man would pick that checked electron, first pick, that would take you with your eyes open 19 million years times 19 million years times 19 million years just to count them is the same probability of 1 × 10^157. And the probability 48 of these prophecies being fulfilled in any one individual. No wonder Jesus appealed to fulfill prophecy, to substantiate his claims as the Messiah. What a Savior. We have nothing to be ashamed of. God never called us to shelve our brains, but our minds were created to work in harmony for their hearts. Because my heart cannot rejoice in what my mind rejects. And boy, when you look at the prophecies, it sure satisfies the mind and causes the heart to rejoice.